measure 26-217, the Police Oversight Board Charter Amendment, will be on the ballot this November. We sat down with Commissioner Joanne Hardesty to learn about what's proposed in the measure and if it has the ability to fundamentally change policing in Portland. Commissioner Hardesty, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
You seem to be a voice of reason that's actually listening to the people of Portland. And many Portlanders right now are loudly voicing their displeasure with the police department, and you're one of the only public figures really striving to do something about it. You yourself decided to run for city council the day that the police contract was negotiated. So police accountability has obviously been on your mind for quite some time. Talk to us a little about police and police accountability in the city of Portland.
Well, I think what we've seen over the last 150 plus days is a stark example as to why policing needs to change. It's ironic to think that people showing up demanding police accountability are then brutalized by the same officers who are sworn to protect and serve those same community members. It wasn't lost on me that when the federal militia came to town, that was a great opportunity for Portland police to show who they protected and served. And instead, what we saw was they joined forces with the federal militia to brutalize Portlanders. Communities of color have been talking about this for decades. And I think what's unique about this moment in our time, in our history, is that no longer is the police driving the public dialogue about who's committing crime, what crime looks like, how much money they need to solve crime. People have come to the painful conclusion that police are not the appropriate first responders for a whole host of things that they are called to respond to. And they're called because the police tell the public, call us for everything. But the reality is they're not housing experts, they're not mental health experts, they're not social service experts, and calling on people puts our community in danger when we are not in fact solving crime. The police have only one job, and that's to solve crime. And they're not that good at that. So we need to really narrow their focus back to what their original purpose was, which is to solve crime. What we know is that over the last few years, 50% of people arrested, but for being houseless, would have never been arrested in the first place. So we're really misusing our public resources in a way that doesn't give us what the community is demanding. I have to say, never in my life did I expect to see tens of thousands of people in the street supporting Black Lives Matters and demanding police accountability. And so I feel very grateful that I am in a position of power to actually continue the work that I've been doing for 30 plus years in Portland. June gave us the opportunity because of the protesters to cut $15 million out of the Portland police budget. I'm planning to do $18 million this Wednesday if I can get the votes to make that happen. But the reality is that the ballot measure 26-217 it's just one small piece of the transformation that must happen. First, we have to demilitarize police. We have to have less police, and we have to be really directive of what the role of policing is. The good news is this conversation is happening at a statewide level. I serve on the governor's task force for the Department of Public Safety Standards and Practice, and that's the front door that all law enforcement in the state go for their first 16 weeks of training. And we have to fundamentally change that front door. We have to make sure that community members are co-facilitators of training for community police officers. And today we train as if they're going into military service. And as a vet, I know what military boot camp looked like. And that's exactly how we train law enforcement today. And then we're surprised that they come into communities very aggressive and really mandating behavior rather than using their words to actually engage people in conversation to solve crime. We also have to change the police contract. And as you know, we'll start those talks again in January. But what's beautiful about this moment in time is that all this work is happening simultaneously that will lead us to a more just and fair police force that actually understands that they are public servants and not dictators that get to dictate community behavior.
So let's talk about the real police accountability, this measure that you brought up. Yes. Will be on November's ballot.
Yes.
In broad strokes, what will this do for the community? What does it seem to change?
So it will fundamentally change police accountability in the city of Portland. It will create a truly community oversight board. The board will have a budget, which will be 5% of Portland Police Bureau's budget. They will be able to hire their own civilian investigators to investigate claims of police misconduct. They will be able to implement discipline. They will also be able to make policy recommendations to the city council annually that they think will further correcting how policing happens in our community. So I'm really excited about this measure, and it's not new. The auditor, the city auditor, would like you to believe I just dreamed this up one night and forced my colleagues to vote for it. But the reality is that this has been something a community has asked for the entire 30 plus years I've been working on police reform. Anytime we put together a community group or task force, this is the number one recommendation. But what's unique now is we've never had the political will and a community will so well aligned. And so that's why we took advantage of this opportunity to put this on the November ballot. And let me just say, the city council could have voted it in. We had the power to do that. But I've been working on police reform long enough to know that had the city council just voted it in, the police association would have filed a lawsuit. So we'd be fighting in court for the next couple of years rather than actually getting the work done about fundamentally changing oversight of policing.
How would this newly created civilian police oversight board differ from what currently exists, what's called the independent police review?
It will be as different as night and day. IPR was created under the premise that only police can hold police accountable for misconduct. This board believes that community members have an obligation to hold community police officers accountable to community standards. And so there's just no way to make IPR a community-driven process. Yes, there are civilians that work there, but primarily IAD, Internal Affairs Division, still conducts the bulk of the investigations of police misconduct. And ironically, they don't find police have done anything wrong most of the time, right? So bringing this process out of the dock into the public eye and having community members working with professional investigators will give us better results. And I think the community will trust those results. And quite frankly, good police officers should trust these results.
I think there are legitimate concerns that police in Portland and around the country seem to be immune from any sort of justice or accountability. Yes. So in the event that there is pushback from PPB or the Portland Police Association, what can be done to make sure the PPB are actually held accountable?
Let me just say they've been pushing back nonstop. They've been pushing back since June when we passed the last budget. We cut $15 million out of a $238 million budget, and let the Portland Police tell it they can't do anything because we cut that $15 million. They're not responding to domestic violence calls. They're not taking 911 calls. And their message to the public is, we can't do anything because you cut our budget. Because that's their normal default position if they don't get what they want. First, they take a vote of no confidence in a city council. They did that already, so, you know, no big deal there. And then they start trying to scare the public into demanding more police resources, right? And in my 30 years, I've seen this play out over and over and over again. The Portland Police Association has never had a city council that would not buckle to their demands. They have one now. And they are, I think, freaking out that they are no longer the bosses of the city council. And the reality is that they should have, the city should have pushed back a long time ago. As you said in announcing me, the whole reason I'm on the city council was because of the outrageous process that happened for the last Portland Police contract, right? So this time I made sure that we hired an outside attorney to lead the negotiations. I made sure that the meetings are open to the public so that the public has access and can see how the negotiations happen. Now, every other meeting happens in a PPA union building, so we can't, they won't let the public into their building and we can't make them. But because we have an independent attorney, at every meeting, regardless of which one it is, there will be a review of what happened at the last meeting. So no longer will the important policy decisions happen behind closed doors. They will be open to the light of day. And the community can weigh whether or not the police association is negotiating in good faith.
Sarah Ann Rohn has said that when she's elected mayor, she'll put you in charge of the Portland Police Bureau on day one. Can you talk a little about your vision for change?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I started an initiative out of my office called Rethink Portland, and it is a community dialogue that so far we've had 8 Zoom meetings with different constituents around what does community safety look like? Because we have to reimagine community safety really from a public health perspective. If we've learned anything from the pandemic, is that we're all interconnected, right? And some systems we have work well, and some systems we have never worked. And policing is one of those systems that if you look at outcomes, we do a really poor job of policing in the city of Portland. If you look at outcomes, if you look at the data, we know that Black and Brown people are over-policed and have been over-policed ever since we've had a police department. But for some reason, they've never been held accountable for that over-aggressive policing method. And so the community's been demanding innovation. So Portland Street Response is part of that innovation. Last year during the budget, I had focus groups with houseless community members and really said, what do you think people need when 911 is called? And what they said they needed was pretty much what anybody would need, right? A compassionate ear, something warm to drink if it's wintertime, something cool to drink if it's summertime. Someone that's not demanding compliance, like not asking them, well, what's your name? Let me see your ID. Are there warrants out for your arrest, right? If somebody's struggling on the street, they don't need to be bombarded with questions when somebody who is supposed to be there to provide aid shows up. So Portland Street Response will roll out at the end of January or 1st of February next year. It will have a qualified mental health professional. It will have a EMT / firefighter, and it will have a peer supporter. These are the 3 helpers that houseless community members said were most in need when a first responder showed up. Today, 40% of the calls that go to 911 are for unwanted people. So why do you call the police? Well, because they appear to be talking to themselves. They appear to have a mental health issue. They are sleeping in a tent outside my house. Well, it's not illegal to be poor, and it's certainly not a good use of public resources, limited public resources, to be sending the police to intervene when the police don't have housing in their back pocket, they don't have mental health treatment in their back pocket, and they're the least qualified people to be engaging with people who are in distress.
Commissioner, yes. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, let me go back and answer your original question. You said if Sarah's elected, she said she would give me the police bureau as her first order of business. I would be very grateful for that. Our current mayor has also promised that when his election's over, he will reconsider giving me the police bureau. I'm like most of your listeners, I have no clue what the outcome will be of this election cycle. But what I know is that the community is demanding that we do police transformation now. Right? Not in January, not when we know who's won or who's lost, but now. And so I'm doing everything I can now to make sure that whoever shows up in January, we are on the path for transformation and there will be no turning back. As you know, this Black Lives Matter moment won't last forever. And if we don't do everything we can in this moment, it will be very easy to go back to status quo. And status quo doesn't work for most of us. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. And please, 26-217, we don't need to just pass it, but we need to pass it overwhelmingly. We want to send a very strong message to the police union that their days are numbered And they will become public servants like the rest of us public servants. They don't deserve special rights because they carry a weapon. In fact, they need to be held more accountable because they have life and death decision making.
You've been listening to an interview with Commissioner Joanne Hardesty, who's been discussing Measure 26-217. That's the Police Accountability Initiative, which establishes a civilian oversight board for the Portland Police Bureau. Make sure your voice is heard, even if it just feels like harm reduction. Vote in the November 3rd election.